You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everyone. I'm excited about Highbridge this weekend. I don't know about you. I just want to say a few things before I introduce the speaker on that front. If you have purchased tickets online, you can pick them up at the cafeteria kiosk today or at the Stews between 1 and 3. So make sure you pick it up if you've purchased one and you still need to get it. You can still buy tickets and pick them up at the same time. But I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be having for you tomorrow at the showcase at 7 o'clock right here. I'm super excited to introduce our speaker today, one of our Highbridge Film Festival judges this weekend, Katie Hooten. She is a creative producer and an executive with 20 years of entertainment experience in live action, animation, visual effects, virtual production, and interactive content. She's currently Senior Vice President and Head of Studio at Premier VFX Company, MPC, in Los Angeles. And she leads a team of creative artists on projects like The Little Mermaid, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, Jordan Peele's Nope. She's served as a visualization producer before at The Third Floor, which is a leading visualization studio. They've worked on things like Avengers, right, the Avengers series, Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, Captain Marvel, Ant-Man and the Wasp. I could just list names, all films that we know and love. Her leadership there has also gotten her into immersive experiences, where she's produced groundbreaking work in AR and VR, gaming cinematics, and theme park rides, collaborating with people like, Steven Spielberg, Disney, and Universal. She's also, her own production company, Hardy Howell, is an Emmy-nominated company that produced the special Piney, The Lonesome Pine, and other award-winning indie comedies. And she's been a veteran of Disney animation. So if you're a fan of Disney movies, she's worked on things like Lilo and Stitch and Spirited Away, Treasure Planet. She joined the producing team with Corey Edwards, who spoke last year, her brother. And they put out Hoodwink in 2006. So if you've seen Hoodwink, if you're a fan of that, it's a fun film. She lives in LA with her husband, Tim, and their two amazing daughters. So Katie knows a thing or two about how to tap into our God-given creative imaginations to tell compelling stories that impact today's culture. But as storytellers in any medium should know, I should show and not tell. So let's do that now by rolling this clip.
Hey, hey. I just wanted you guys to have to see dragons in chapel. Is that a first? The beautiful visual effects work is a little taste of what I get to do every day at MPC. I'm head of studio in Los Angeles, where I work with artists and animators to bring ideas to life for features and series. Thank you so much for having me here today. Thank you, Todd, and the communications department, Rachel and Greg. Thank you, and to the film students who brought me here, who worked so hard to create some truly entertaining and wonderful work for the Highbridge Film Festival. I've loved seeing your work already, and I'm excited for tomorrow. So chapel is a familiar space for me. I went to Anderson University in Indiana, the heathens there, and we had twice weekly chapel, and no surprise, I didn't really appreciate it when I was a student. I really appreciate it now, this gathering space, this space of safety. My dad was president at Anderson for 25 years, and occasionally I would get on the circulated naughty list for not attending enough chapels that semester, and everybody would have a good chuckle about that. So I need to know, where are my movie nerds at? Any movie nerds, please, thank you. I feel most safe in a space with other movie nerds. I myself am a movie nerd, so I'm glad you're in the room. I'd always wanted to work in film when I was young, but my dad was a pastor and my mom was a teacher, And there was no one in my life who worked in entertainment, except for my brother's fifth grade teacher had a cousin who was on some TV shows, and that was like as big as it got in Columbus, Ohio. But I grew up in church, which is full of storytelling, and telling stories about epic and exciting things that can change the world. How amazing that we know about the radical, loving behaviors of Jesus because of the passing of stories and the stories that he told. This parable may be familiar to you. It's a favorite of mine, the parable of the mustard seed from Matthew 13. I will paraphrase. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, tiny, which a person took and planted in the field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, growing so large that birds come and perch in its branches. I was asked to speak today about how we can use creativity to impact culture. We are burdened by complex issues and stresses and noise, while simultaneously feeling the loneliness, isolation, and disconnection that comes from what relationship expert Esther Perel calls the other AI, artificial intimacy. She says, so many of us have 1,000 friends online, but no one to call to feed our cat. We are distracted, we are not present. And this results in a disconnection that is so powerful, we can end up feeling lonely even when we're surrounded by people. How do we use creativity to disrupt a disconnected culture where the pervasive priority is individualistic gain? How do we change this to turn us toward a community effort where we take better care of each other and love is at the center? This has been the question on my heart as I prepared to see you today. Okay, but first movie stuff. So for the past 9 years, I've focused much of my time in the space of pre-production and visualization for some of the most massive movies of our time. And often that involves really cool secrets. I mean NDAs that I can't even get a crack in. Amazing stuff I can't tell my family or friends. I just have to go home and be like, oh, I saw some cool stuff today. So one of these times was probably, I'm going to say 2016. You guys were playing T-ball or having sleepovers? I don't know. I was working on a series of superhero movies, producing previs. Previs, or pre-visualization, is the visualizing of scenes or sequences in a movie before filming. It's like animated storyboards. And in superhero movies where people can fly, or they can change scale, or have special powers, there's so much visual effects work that you're integrating with practical locations and green screen sound stages. Humans are interacting with mythical creatures. There's a lot of planning. Well, at this time, I was working on multiple films that involved the same superheroes, and it was top secret. It was so top secret that I worked in a building where there was security to park, and then security in the downstairs, and then a key card to get upstairs, and then a key card to get into the office, and then a key card for the wing where I was working on those movies. So you get the point. It was super under wraps. There was no bringing your kid to work day. There was no, like, just let the pizza guy come to the back kitchen. No, no, no. It was the toppest of top secret. But one day, we had a request come in from the directors of the double movie that we were working on. You catching my vibe? And the request was so top secret that only a few of us were allowed to hear the creative brief over the phone and prep the previs. Do you want to know what it was? Okay. So the request was to do a movement exercise. Okay, so pause. Now I got to tell you what a movement exercise is. A movement exercise in previs is when there's going to be a fight scene that's not totally figured out yet. So the writers might have written something basic. It's in a Marvel movie. The writers might have written something basic for the fight, and our previs artists would have to pitch sort of what-if scenarios for the fight, and the most outrageous creative moves would eventually stitch together to create this epic fight. So back to the story. One day, we had a request come in from the directors that was ultra top secret. And the request was, show us some moves using two characters and two assets. The characters were unnamed villain, Captain America, Captain America's shield, and Thor's hammer. What? We got that brief and we were all like, what? Now, I'm really sorry, if you don't know Marvel, this is not gonna land for you in your board. But nobody can wield Thor's hammer except for Thor. Like, throughout Marvel lore, throughout the movies, like, people try to lift it up and it just doesn't happen and it's a big deal. So we knew in this quiet, quiet little room with hardly any people, this tiny group of people, that this was gonna be a big friggin' deal. We were very excited. So as the process goes, my previous team had artists pitch crazy moves. You visually pitch. So you might have 15 animated moves that we'd put up to like disco music or something in a screening room. And each move's about 2 to 4 seconds long. And it's like, what can you do with unnamed villain, Captain America, Captain America's shield, and Thor's hammer? The ricochet moves, the jumps, the flips. And then our supervisor would pick maybe 5 to show to the director. And the directors would pick 2 moves they really liked, and they might say, more of this. So we're just in this space of like, what if this happened? What if that happened? Wouldn't it be cool if this happened? And it's so crazy to quietly work on a secret with a little team that no one will see the work for 3 years, but we're all going, you know, this is probably going to be a big deal. So how did it turn out? I found a little clip on YouTube. Trigger warning, there is superhero violence, but let's run the clip and see how it played out for fans. I love movies! See, now we're all movie nerds. We all are now. I love movies. So for the people at home who weren't able to see that little clip I found on the internet, people freaked out. They freaked out the right amount that we wanted them to freak out. And that was very gratifying. It was a significant moment because people saw something they had never seen before. It was a total surprise. They didn't even know it was possible. And this is one of the many amazing experiences that early stages of film planning allows. Visualization is that space where the walls haven't really come down yet. You don't have to rein in the decisions quite yet. And there's a lot of room for imagining the most incredible things that are going to surprise audiences. There are some rules to the visualization process that I want to share with you because they're not just great for film planning, they're good for helpful guideposts, I'll say, for moving through the world as a growing creative person. Are you ready? We're going to do 3 rules. They're easy. First rule, make it visual, ASAP. Take your ideas out of words, put them into action as soon as you can. Don't tell, show. Less talk. More visuals, more action. Show people what you mean. Show people who you are. Show people what you value. And in this line of thinking, the best pitch is actually an invitation for collaboration. And a great pitch involves less talking, more listening, and the right visuals. Number 2, rule of visualization. Iterate and elevate. What does that mean? Be an idea generator. I didn't say generate only the best ideas. Get used to flowing with a lot of ideas, good ones, bad ones, outrageous ones that may never work, unconventional. You usually can't get to the couple of great ideas without generating a higher volume of ideas. Iteration is energy producing. My favorite poet, Mary Oliver, says, "A mind that is lively and inquiring, compassionate, curious, angry, full of music, full of feeling, is a mind full of possible poetry." Be in a stance of iterating and elevating, renewing and energizing. Tickle your senses with inspiration, and you will grow new things in your life. Are you ready for the last one? My favorite one. Number 3, failure is baked into the process. Ooh, I love that one, and I hate it. Creative work requires failure. Can I beat this one over the head? Life requires failure. I didn't say endure failure. I said it's required. You must do it. No one ever shows up to production and says, like, gee, I hope nothing goes wrong today. Production is problems. It's a puzzle. It's a thrill. Creative work is a thrill and a mess. Do not fear the struggle. As author and theologian Richard Rohr writes, darkness, failure, relapse, death, and woundedness are our primary teachers. And if you find yourself struggling, you're not struggling because you're broken. You're struggling because you're engaged. Thought leader and game designer Jane McGonigal says, gamers are the best out-of-the-box problem solvers. Is there anybody in here that plays games? Do you call yourselves gamers? Games, yes, you are the future. Do you know why? The best out-of-the-box problem solvers because they fail roughly 80% of the time. Failure is expected when you're gaming. Can you imagine how boring it would be if you won every time you played, if there was no strategy involved, no challenge? And you know when gamers experience their biggest high? It's not when they win. Research shows that the biggest high happens for gamers when they lose, but they have an aha moment about how to do it different next time that leads to an epic win. Put the failure in perspective. Failure's information. Understand it's baked in, it's supposed to be there. Receive it for the information it gives you and move forward. So with those three rules of visualization in mind, make it visual, iterate and elevate, understand failure is part of the process, where does that take us? The struggle that I find so many creative people deal with, and I can personally identify with this, is the pressure of legacy. How do I participate in a way that is unique and lasting and bigger than myself? How do I break through the noise? What will I contribute to this space? Or, as every director has uttered in every kickoff meeting, I want to show people something they've never seen before. Oof. Perhaps that's the impossible ask. Not every movie can build to an earned audible gasp or an uproar in a dark theater where Captain America commands Thor's hammer. How do we participate? Where do we start? It's a broken world. It's too hard. I'm only one person. I don't know how to get there, and I might not even know where there is. What the best teachers tell us is everything has a beginning that starts here. It's real small, like a mustard seed. And in the parable, Jesus doesn't even elaborate on how you grow the seed. I mean, he does in other parables. He's like, good soil, and rough soil, and blah, blah, blah. But to make his point here, he just says, a person plants it in the field. And then something surprising happens. It doesn't just grow, but it grows as big as a tree. So big, birds can sit in its branches. To affect culture for good, to create loving spaces where everyone is welcome, we have to creatively imagine something we might have never seen before. A person who's doing this in LA is a man named Father Greg Boyle, who is the founder of Homeboy Industries, which is the largest gang intervention, rehabilitation, and reentry program in the world. He writes in his book, Tattoos on the Heart, imagine a circle of compassion. Now imagine no one is standing outside that circle. No daylight to separate us. Only kinship in this circle of compassion. Then we imagine no one standing outside of that circle, moving ourselves closer to the margins so that the margins themselves will be erased. We stand there with those whose dignity has been denied. We locate ourselves with the poor and the powerless and the voiceless. At the edges, we join the easily despised, the readily left out. We stand with the demonized so that the demonizing will stop. We situate ourselves right next to the disposable so that the day will come when we stop throwing people away. Father Greg Boyle is describing how our culture can shift to be more like the kingdom of heaven now and here. How can we use creativity to disrupt a disconnected culture where the pervasive priority is individualistic gain? How do we change this to turn us toward a community effort where we take better care of each other and love is at the center? Start where it starts. Here, tiny. Visualize it. Take it out of words, put it into action. Iterate and elevate. Welcome failure. It's part of the process, it's supposed to be there. And as music legend Quincy Jones says about the artistic process, leave space for God to walk through the room. May your small efforts grow into something bigger than you could possibly imagine. Stay in the work, friends. Amen.